Well, good morning, everybody.
God of creation, God of wisdom, God of glory, the great I am, we offer our hearts to you in prayer this morning. We come before you through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We thank you for the gift of worship, for the power of praise. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who draws us to you. We thank you for family and friends through whom you show us love and encouragement. We thank you for the changing of the seasons and for the food that has been harvested and that will be stored for winter. We confess that so often we take your blessings for granted. Father, we are reminded daily that there are many here in this valley and countless more around the world who do not have a bed in which to lay their head, or a house in which to live, or a car to drive, or a job to attend, or clean water to drink, or a doctor or medicine to help. There are many in this world who do not have the freedom to worship you without fear of arrest and persecution. What we often consider as basic amenities, many people can only dream for. So please remind us each day to be thankful for what we have and to be quick to share our blessings with those who are less fortunate. Please help us as a congregation to continue to seek new ways to share your love with those in need. Help us to lift high the name of Jesus through our service to those in need. Father, we also confess that we, like the children of Israel who wandered in the desert for 40 years, we are so quick to grumble and complain. We forget about your blessings. We forget about your grace in our lives. We argue among ourselves. We forget your grace. We forget your presence and your call to a life of love. So we ask for your forgiveness and pray for cleansing through the blood of Jesus spilled on our behalf, who lived and died and rose again. Father, we have much to pray for needs within our congregation. We pray for continued healing for Matt Hall as he recovers from his chemotherapy. We pray for Sterling Swanson. We pray for Ken's brother, Norm. We pray for Nate Schofield and Casey as they transition to a new call in music ministry. And we thank you so much for his deep love for you and the gift of musical worship that you have bestowed upon him. Father, I also thank you for Erica Kirtland's successful heart surgery here in recent weeks. I also lift up before you the many families who have recently lost loved ones and are going through the grieving and loss process. We pray for your comforting power through your Holy Spirit to be with them. And we pray for our congregation as we continue to grapple with difficult denominational issues. We lift up before you our elders as they provide leadership for us. And Father, we just express our great appreciation and gratitude to you for being our God and calling us to be your people. And as we prepare to present the morning offering, we join in the prayer which Jesus taught us, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Our scripture reading this morning is from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will.
Let us pray. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable to you in this time, you who are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, anybody know what the most dangerous intersection in America is? Anybody? Well, it happens to be in Pennsylvania, and I think some of you may have visited Pennsylvania recently sometimes, but this is it. Take a look at that. I'm glad I'm not there right now. It's in Bensalem, Pennsylvania, and it's an intersection that's plagued by poor lighting, poor signage, discontinuous sidewalks, aggressive drivers, and jaywalkers. And in 2 years, there were 144 crashes at this site. Pretty dangerous. And 170 were injured. And there's more than 36,000 vehicles, including buses that carry 500 people a day on this street. So that's how many people travel on this intersection on any day. So it's pretty bad. And you'd think somebody would do something about it, and I don't know what they're doing about it. But the reason I put that up there is I was wondering if you had any thoughts about what at least one of the most dangerous intersections is for Christians, for us as Christians. What is one really dangerous intersection? And I would say that one of them is the intersection, when it happens, between what we know God is calling us to do here and our wilderness experiences here. That's a dangerous intersection. Let me explain if that's not completely clear. I know that when negative circumstances hit me, I don't always praise God. Do you? I tend to look at things anyway negatively. I'm kind of a negative person. That's my MO. Okay? So if you gave me a glass of water, what would I see? Half empty. If it was, you know, some people see it half full. If there's half water in there, I see it half empty. That's just the way that I am. And I can easily, where are they? There they are. Put on dark glasses when bad things happen to me. Okay? I see things through these lenses. I cannot see you, by the way, when I have these on, so you can sleep for a moment. These are my I can't trust God glasses. These are my negative glasses, my it's all futile glasses. These are my God has abandoned me in the midst of my circumstances glasses. These are my it will never work if I don't worry about it glasses. Okay? That's what the children of Israel did in the wilderness. Now, we don't have adult ed, so I'm just following up on Rosalie's excellent sermon from last Sunday, all right? And I'm just going to add a little bit to that, because where we are in the story is all about the Israelites wandering in the wilderness. And Rosalie talked about them coming to the promised land and not even seeing it because they were so worried, because they had these negative glasses of fear and anxiety on, all right? They couldn't even see what God was doing. They were too scared. And their inability to see God at work because they had these glasses on caused them, as she said last week, to take a detour. They had to wander for another 40 years in the wilderness. God said, here's the promised land. And they said, no, we're too scared. God isn't with us. He's abandoned us. This can't be right. Oh my gosh. And we can't do this. So they wandered. And I wonder in my own life how many times looking through these glasses instead of looking up in faith has created detours in my own life. I wonder about that. And you say to me, well, Kim, you know, that's great and everything. I like your glasses and stuff. But that's not really a fair analogy because, you know, if I had a cloud to guide me like they did, you know, in the wilderness, and a pillar of fire by night, if I had walked through the Red Sea on dry land, I would believe that I wouldn't need these things. I would never, ever doubt that God is with me. I'd always know that He was there. Well, today, West Valley, I want you to be encouraged. And that's what this message is all about, because I think we've been through kind of a wilderness time as a church, going through all this denominational stuff. I can't wait till this is over. Okay, I can't wait. I'm so tired of it. This has been, actually, I was sharing with Session on Thursday night, this has actually been the hardest year for me in my professional career as a pastor. All this has gotten to me at certain times, on certain days. I have been discouraged. I have. There have been days when I put on these glasses and seen things in a very dark way. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. It's been a wilderness time. But again, today I want you to be encouraged. I want you to, if you would, throw these glasses away. I want you to, even if you have the guts to do it, you can kind of break them. Okay? 295 CVS. Because despite the wilderness that we've been through, despite the difficulties, I want to point out to you the cloud right now. I want to point out to you the pillar of fire that is with us, leading us through this denominational chaos and confusion. Because in this past year, even though it's been tremendously difficult for me, and I know it's been difficult for many of you, I have never, ever heard so many stories of people encountering Christ in a whole new way. People asking Jesus into their heart. People coming to me and saying, you know, I want to be in ministry. You know, I've just had a dream about Jesus and I realize that He's the way. I've never, in all the 33 years that I've been in ministry, I've never heard so many stories. People coming to me and talking to me about this. And they don't give credit, these people don't give credit to any denomination or system of thought. They give the credit to the Lord, to Jesus. It's all about Jesus. So, here we are. That's the fire. That's the cloud that's leading us. Remarkable choices have been made for the kingdom. And I can't share them all of you because some of them are very personal. Some of them are confidential. But there is one story that I can share with you, and I have permission to share it this morning. You know, in all this, as I said, there's been amazing volunteerism, tremendous servanthood. And one of the things that, as I said, I have permission to share this, has happened recently is that Doug and Connie Rowe, you may know them. They're longtime members of this church. They have agreed to be one of our Crash Zone Kids foster parents. They've opened their house too. Young man comes to Crash Zone, needs a place to go. Sarah called the Rose, would you consider? They open their heart. Yeah, we've got two extra bedrooms, they say. We know how much Daniel, the Crash Zone student, loves the church, and he really does. Finds this place a safe and inspiring place to be. We want him to be able to be here at this church because it means so much to him. And this is our church too. And we want to provide a home for him. We want this church to be a safe place and our home to be a safe place for him. And they've been amazing. And we actually videotaped the story, and Doug was telling the whole story. Someday we'll show that for you, but the lighting wasn't quite right. So I just want you to listen to an audio recording of Doug speaking about this after they opened their home to Daniel.
With that, and with our knowledge limited knowledge of the foster care program, despite what Sarah said, we thought this was going to take a month or more. And interviews and paperwork and waiting and waiting and waiting. Well, so I asked God, if this is the right thing, make it easy. And it was. Of course, if Connie sees this, she's probably going to slap me upside the head and say, hey, it was not easy. But from start to finish, the whole process took 5 days. And now Daniel's living with us. So the one thing I took from this is that when God answers your prayers, expect to grow in ways that you cannot imagine, that are beyond all expectations. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Such richness, see? And let me just say, you can't force these things to happen. I don't care how much money we have. I don't care how many staff people we have. I don't care what programs we have. You can't force somebody to open up their home, right? That's a work of the Holy Spirit in our midst. You can't change a heart. We do everything we can to set up a place where God can do that, but that's movement of the Spirit among us. So I just want to say, if you're in your own wilderness today, as separate from all of what's going on here, there's a lot of things that you can't control. That's so true. You can't control circumstances around you. You can't control what other people do or think. You can't control what people did yesterday. And you can't control what people are going to do tomorrow, what the circumstances are yesterday or tomorrow. But you can control you right now in the present. And if you and if you do that, I'm just going to give you 3 points that will help you to take off those dark glasses. I broke them. I forgot they were coming up again in this message, so I can't put them on. To take off the dark glasses so that you can see the Spirit at work, even in your wilderness times. And you say, well, how do I do that? How do I see the cloud and the pillar of fire leading me? And I'm going to say it takes a little intentionality. We love to think about the Holy Spirit just filling us and making us feel great and seeing God, but that doesn't always happen. Sometimes we have to make a choice to see God when we're going through the wilderness. So the first thing is choose your attitude. Again, as Rosalie said, the Israelites grumbled and they missed the promised land. And when you're discouraged, instead of grumbling and complaining or talking about this person or that person, you know what you could do? You could choose to praise God instead. You can start to quote scripture. You can start to quote those wonderful promises. You know, just purely on a psychological level, leave out the Holy Spirit, leave out God. Studies show that when you act a certain way, your feelings eventually follow. All right, just purely on a psychological level. And we have the Holy Spirit. So as AA people say, fake it till you make it. Fake it till you make it. It opens up a way for the Holy Spirit to work. Now, I'm not saying live in denial. That's not what I'm saying. And it doesn't mean that we don't need to cry and mourn and experience sorrow too. But when we're in the wilderness, if we want to see God at work, stop complaining and worrying and start praising. Stop grumbling and start thanking. Stop looking around at everybody else and look up and start worshiping. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And you'll see that your attitude begins to shift to gratitude in the wilderness. Number two, you can choose to have a big God-sized perspective. Now, this is related to attitude a little bit, but it's a little different. Some of you asked, well, where were you last weekend? And we were in Michigan. I hadn't been to Michigan since I was 6 years old. But we were in Michigan because my youngest, Jonathan, is going to go there for college. So this is our first time going out there with him. And as many of you know, he's going to go play baseball over there. So we got to sit with the head coach, the University of Michigan, the head of the baseball team. Coach Bakich is his name. And the other recruits for about an hour. And we listened to him talk about his own baseball coach, Bakich's own baseball coach when he was younger playing baseball. Bakich's coach was a guy named Keith LeClair. There he is. I don't know if any of you have heard about him, but Keith LeClair was a baseball legend in his time. He signed with the Atlanta Braves. He did a spring training with the San Francisco Giants. And then he became the head baseball coach at East Carolina University, where he guided the Pirates to 4 straight NCAA regional appearances, 3 Athletic Association championships, and 1 Conference USA title. He was an amazing coach. And then Keith LeClair got ALS. This incredible athlete and coach had his body gradually get paralyzed with this disease. And it got to the point that it was so bad that the only part of his body that Keith LeClair could move were his eyes. He could blink. And he was on a ventilator, and he chose to stay that way because he had two young children. And he wanted to stay alive for them as long as he could. And because of this diagnosis, however, Keith LeClaire started to open the Bible. And he began to read the scripture. I mean, we're at University of Michigan. Backich is telling us all this. It's amazing. And he found Jesus as he read the scripture in a way he'd never known before. He gone to church a couple times during the year, but this disease brought him to Christ. And he couldn't do much in the last few years, as I said, but he could blink. And you know what he decided to do? He said, if I can blink, I want to, by the movement of his eyes, and he had a eye recognition machine that could write out what he was saying with his eyes, I want to write devotionals for people and for athletes. I want to use the blinking of my eyes to inspire people to know Jesus. And so that's what he did. And it's published in a book called Coaching Third, if any of you want to read it or get it. All the devotions are about how wonderful Jesus is and how Keith learned to depend on the Lord through his illness in a way he had never done before. Here's a quote from one of his devotionals. He writes, "All my trophies that I won will one day rust away and no longer have any meaning. All the goals and prizes we strive for in this life will have no significance in our lives unless we put the prize of Jesus Christ first." And another time he wrote, "If I have given one person hope through my illness, it will have all been worth it." What a perspective, folks. And Coach Backich told that group of young recruits that day that all of them needed to make what he called a perspective poster to keep them in the right place mentally. That's why the scripture was, by the renewing of our minds, the Holy Spirit renews our minds. And he himself had a perspective poster, and he showed it to them, and guess who was on there? A picture of Keith LeClaire. And he says, "When I think I'm having a bad day, when things aren't going right for me, I look at that perspective poster. And I think about Keith LeClaire." He says, "I look at him and I think, if Keith LeClaire could inspire people when all he could do was blink his eyes, I can inspire people too, and it's not such a bad day for me. I can walk, I can breathe, I can talk. I can live this day to the fullest." Having a God-sized perspective. What an amazing man. And number three is effort. We can choose to make more of an effort to go deeper in our faith. You know, and some people say, "Well, I'm saved by grace. I'm getting into heaven, maybe by the skin of my teeth, but I'm getting there. God forgives me. Forgiveness in Jesus. Great. I'm going to slip in there. I'm going to make it to heaven." That's what it's all about. Bonhoeffer, I've said this to you before, calls this cheap grace. He wrote it from prison. He says, you know, when we really know that God loves us, we want to give back, we want to sacrifice. And I told you before, I'm teaching at this little seminary college now, and I'm so inspired by these kids there. They're so turned on to their faith. They come in, their eyes are drooping down like this. I'm saying, "What is going on with you?" And they say, "I'm fasting." I say, "You are? Why are you fasting?" "I want to get to know Jesus better. I've been fasting for 3 days. And I said, "That's great, but there's a midterm and here's some water, you know." But they're committed. They're committed to know God better. They pour over scripture and then they quote it back to me, right? They want to know God better and they make sacrifices to do this. And I've never seen a group so enthusiastic about the Lord. They love the Lord, and it encourages me to be with them because they get thrilled about God and the things of God, and they sacrifice to go deeper in their faith. Well, we can too. We can make an effort to serve. We can make an effort to serve this church and serve other people as the Lord leads us. Just as the rose didn't put on dark glasses and think, "Oh, no, no." They took them off. They looked up. They felt God was leading them in this direction, and they took Daniel into their home. We can too. We can move forward and see how God is leading us. There's so many ways to get involved here. I don't know if you know, but there's a window over there with volunteer opportunities. It's right on the office window. You heard about Operation Christmas Child. It's such an amazing thing that Sarah set up in McCaddy Hall. Many, many boxes, many, many things have been donated. You can get involved in that. So we're going to elect the nominating committee at our congregational meeting. When they call you to serve, just pray first before you say no, okay? And see what God will do. Allow the Spirit to lead you, or say yes right away. Well, maybe you should pray first anyway. but allow the Spirit to lead you. Make an effort to go deeper in your faith by service, by poring over Scripture. And when we make these intentional efforts, we release the Spirit in our lives to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think. So again, how do you take off the dark glasses when you get to that intersection of the wilderness and what God is calling you to do? Attitude, perspective, and effort. We make that choice, and it releases the Spirit in our lives, and it will release the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, here at West Valley Presbyterian Church. Would you pray with me? Dear Lord, you're amazing, and your grace is enough. And because we've received that grace, Lord, we want to choose to follow you. We want to have the attitude that says, I'm grateful always because you're my God. We want to have the perspective that says, you have given me life this day. I want to live this day for you and you alone. Lord, you have given us so much that we want to make the effort to grow deeper. So help us make those intentional choices, even when it's hard. Bless us in our personal lives, O Lord, and bless us as a church that we might live to your glory and praise you for who you are every day of our life. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Spirit of God is here right now. Let's just pray a moment. Thank you, Lord, so much for your presence. We are grateful that we are not alone in this life, and in the wilderness experiences, you walk with us. Fill us with your grace. Fill us with your power. May we truly live as your people, knowing that you are alive and knowing that nothing is impossible with you, and that nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Confident of this, O Lord, we ask for your blessing on each person here, and we pray for our meeting as we go into it now, that you would be honored and glorified in the way that we speak to one another, in the way that we discuss business, and in the way that we look out and forward to be your church. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.